And Father, we praise you, and we're here to hear what you have for us. Help us to grab a hold of these truths and just be blessed by it. Thank you. In Jesus' wonderful, holy, saving name we come. Amen. We welcome those of you joining us through the window back there at the back. That's the camera. And God bless you in this Thanksgiving and Christmas season. And we're glad you've come to join us here at Holiday Shores Baptist Church, Morrow Road, north of Edwardsville. And God is so good to us. Now, I have just something to say. Somewhere in this message, you're going to say to yourself, that sounds familiar. I recognize this message. He's preaching it again. And I want you to know that sometimes I do repeat messages. But it's usually messages that I think are really important that we get a handle on. And so every 3, 4, 5 years, I'll trot them out and we'll do it again. And so this morning is one of those messages. God wants to say to us, this is the way I deal with you, and I want you to know and to understand this. And it really is important. When I got a handle on this material, it blessed me in a profound way. And so I want to do that with you as well. And I've learned sometimes the best way to learn is repetition. Run it by me again and again and again. You know, life has many different phases and stages. Sometimes it's like a leisurely walk in the park. Sometimes it's like motoring down the interstate on a sunny day at 50 miles per hour or 70 miles an hour. Life is good. And then there's other times when you're just trying to make it down the road on a back road in a blinding rainstorm and you can't quite see where you are, where you're going, but it's just piling up rain on your windshield, and life has periods of time like that. Sometimes life feels like you're riding a Six Flags coaster. Your feet are dangling and your knuckles are white. And you've had experiences in life like that too, right? And sometimes life feels like, oh, I just hit ice at 65 miles per hour, and I'm spinning out of control as I go down the road. And sometimes life feels that way too. The question before us this morning is do you think there's any rhyme or reason to what happens to us? Things just happen? Or is there a bigger plan, a different purpose? And this morning, I invite you to put your confidence in the care of God for your life. And I want to show you why. You know, there's so many different kinds of things that can come into our lives through the years of our lives. So all those blue things coming down are things that are trying to get into my life. And some of them are good. See the big smiley faces? Some of them are good. Uh-oh, see the big frowny faces? Some of those things we would say, that's not good. I don't want that in my life. And so, but you know, over the course of our life, whether God gives us 30 years, 50 years, or 90 years, we're going to come through a lot of things, and a lot of things are going to happen in our lives. Now, there is a filter around your life. You have filters on your furnace, don't you? These things, you put them up there and the air blows through and takes out the impurities, okay? If you have an air-blown system, you should know what that looks like, okay? And if you haven't, you better go looking because it might not be working because you got to change those all the time. But in our lives, the one filter that keeps a lot of things out of our lives or allows them through into our lives is God's sovereignty, the sovereignty of God. He is the one that controls the events of our lives. Every last thing that comes in. So some things come through because God says in his sovereignty, I'm going to let this in. And other things he says, no, I'm not going to let it in. But he is the one that's in charge of it all. Now, he blocks it, something. Well, what is the principle behind what he does? Well, let's look at these because there's actually three parts, I think, to his filter. First of all is the filter of mercy. Mercy. Lamentations 3:22, I love this Old Testament verse. Because of your loving kindness, we are not consumed. In other words, not everything that can go wrong does go wrong. You might think it does, but it doesn't. There's many, many things that we'll try to work into our lives somewhere in those 70, 80 years that God gives us. And God, in his mercy, says no. And so he turns them away and he says, no, not in this person's life, not in your life, not at this time. So there are many bad things, perhaps, that we deserve that don't happen to us. Well, let's talk about what some of those things might be. Maybe the wages of sin. You know, the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And so by all rights, when we sin, there ought to be a backlash of something bad that comes into our life because sin pays death. There's nothing good about death. It pays loss. It pays bad attitudes. It pays negative things. It pays pain. Those things should come into our lives because the rule is the wages of sin is death. But you know, there are many, many times when God's mercy overrides that rule. Aren't you glad for that? There are times where God says, oh, I know his sin deserves this punishment, this reaction in his life, but I'm not going to let it go through. I'm going to protect him. So sometimes that's what happens. And we're grateful that God in his mercy, you know, because of your loving kindness, because of your mercy, we are not consumed. And he does protect us from those bad times many, many times. Sometimes his mercy protects us from a foolish decision. Man, I'm getting old enough, I can think back to a lot of really dumb decisions I made. And it's a wonder I didn't get my head knocked off or hurt badly or killed or kill somebody else. Just foolish choices. I probably told you this one before, but I remember when we were pastoring in Galilean in Grafton, the church was in Fairmont, West Virginia. We live 6 miles away, and basically every morning I'm driving the ridge of the mountain into the church, 6 miles. Now, the awful thing in the morning was you could get caught behind a coal truck. And because of all the twists and turns, that coal truck's going to do about 35 miles an hour that whole 6 miles. Now, 6 miles on a windy road is bad enough, but 6 miles at 35 miles an hour behind a coal truck, now that's just, oh, that's punishment, especially me. I'm young. I want to get there. The only mercy on that whole road was there was a place there where you had the road kind of came around like this, and then you could see ahead for about 500 feet, maybe 600 feet, but not much more than that. And then there was a real sharp corner, and the road went that way. Well, if you came around that point and you look past the coal truck and there's nobody coming on that other side, it was just the easiest thing to hit the gas and go around him. He's doing 35. It won't take very long. I will get past before anything comes around that corner. Well, usually I did. But sometimes I made the other guy break because somebody came around that bend down here. But, you know, most of those were foolish decisions because I was impatient and I was pushing it. I could have been in a terrible accident. But, you know, God protected me all those times I did that. That was his mercy. He's probably got his angels going, oh, that lemon. I don't know what he's trying to do down there, but God's mercy protected me over and over and over again. There are other accidents that we have that, you know, we're just thoughtless. Or we made a mistake. And sometimes it just happens. You know, accidents. And there are some accidents where God says, you know, normally there'd be a terrible consequence out of this, but I'm not going to allow it to happen because I'm going to be merciful. And I could give you a whole list of those. Probably the biggest one in my life was on November the 4th, 1979. Now, if you look that up, that's a Sunday night. I was working at an international shortwave radio station in Florida, and I had that afternoon, one of my transmitters went down. So I don't know how many I was running at the time, but so I was doing operations, so we're running audio into different transmitters and sending it out around the world. Well, this transmitter shut down. And I said, I can get that fixed. I'll get it fixed before the guys come in tomorrow morning and they don't have to worry about it. So I started to work on this thing over the course of a couple hours, and I made a huge mistake, and I knew better. But I had a meter in my hand. I reached up, and I touched one spot up here because I was measuring voltages. It was a voltage problem, I was sure. And actually, I was going down the row, and I was measuring all these voltages, and most of them were within the range of the meter. But that last one, which I told myself, don't touch that, but over the course of, you know, I looked at the schematic and I knew what I was trying to measure and figure out, don't touch that. But 2 hours later, after I'd done all the operations and everything, I'd forgotten that. So I reached up, stupid, dumb thing. And when I touched it, electricity came down that lead into the meter, jumped across, hit me in the chest, down to a grounded floor, because we had metal plates and channels, and boy, was I grounded good. When I got to the hospital, doctor said, if that would have hit you over just 2 inches, you wouldn't be around anymore. But it burned my feet, and but you know, God looked down and sent one of his angels, and they took care of me, and he had mercy on me. You probably have stories like that in your life too. God had mercy. We did something. It was an accident. We should have died, but we didn't. And then, you know, he also has mercy on us when there are disasters potentially caused by others. How many drunk drivers have you passed on the road safely? That we will probably never know. But not everybody passes a drunk driver safely. But God has had mercy on you and me. How many germs or diseases never got a foothold in your body? God's sovereignty, he says to that little germ, nope, and kills it before it gets inside of you, or sends your immune system to take care of it. How many times have you had an enemy that really had it in for you, but they never got to do what they wanted to do because God in his mercy protected you from any kind of disaster like that? See, God has had so much mercy for us. He protects us from so many things. Have we ever thanked him for that? You know, the unknowable things. God, thank you. I don't know what happened today where you were involved in my protection and you gave me mercy, but thank you so much. And so that's one of the filters of God, the mercy of God, that certain things that we deserve, we're not going to get. and he does not allow them to come in, the consequences to come into our lives. But that's not the only filter. There's another filter, and this is the filter of, it better say grace. It does. It's the filter of grace. And John, and that has to do with, he gives us things that we don't deserve. We absolutely do not deserve those things. John 1:16 says that Jesus has blessed us, and we get from his grace one blessing after another. You know, we get so many things we do not deserve. But God looks out and says, "Nah, he doesn't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to him anyway." You know, there are a lot of those things. A lot of those things. There are single people out there who want a mate. God gave you a mate, but not them. And they long for that. Some others want children, and God said no for some reason. Many childless long for a son or a daughter. God doesn't give everybody health, but he gave us health. He says, "I want to bless you with health." He gave us material possessions. Man, we got so much stuff. Just walk around your garage and down your basement and just look around. See what God has given us. Just, he's given us a whole, but I mean, why weren't we born in the poorest part of Bangladesh? He could have taken our soul and given us to a mother in the womb over there. But no. He said, "I'm going to allow you to be born in America." And so we were blessed with that. So he has had so much grace on our lives. And we have so many things we don't deserve. We don't deserve justification, where God makes us right with himself. And yet he decided to do that. And so from Jesus, we've received one blessing after another, things we do not deserve, and yet we have them. And that's why we say thank you for what we have, because there's no reason that we had to have them, but he gave them to us anyway. That's why we just celebrated Thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace on our lives. But there's one other filter, and I like this filter too. It's his filter of love. His filter of love. And by this filter, I mean that he's only going to allow the events to come into our lives that will ultimately benefit us. So there are some things that could come into our life that would just absolutely destroy us and have no real benefit in the long run. And because he loves us, he says, "I'm not going to let that happen." The Romans 8:28 out of the New English Translation says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." So God loves us so much that he's not going to allow things into our lives that do not benefit us for eternity. John 15:13, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend." So love is a way of thinking that always does what's best for the other person. And God's not going to permit anything to happen to us that will not benefit us in some way. It's like he's closed the door on all those other things. So, you know, I can live my life knowing that God has mercy on me. And I can look back and see times of mercy. And then I can look back and see things. God so blessed me. And then there are things where he loved me. And there have been issues in life where I've been frustrated with God. And now I look back and I say, "You know, you were right. You loved me, so you didn't let this happen." And this is just really profound. God had given us an opportunity in West Virginia to have our own radio station. Now, that makes sense because I was trained in radio. I worked in radio. I knew what I was doing, the ins and outs of radio. And we brought that thing almost to fruition. And then God said no. And I said, God, you can't say no. But now I know that if he would have said yes, I'd probably be sitting out there on the hill in West Virginia running a radio station. And God didn't want that. He wanted me to pastor in Virginia and then in Indiana and then in Illinois. He had other plans for me. And so, and those ministries I just mentioned have benefited me more than sitting on the hill in West Virginia running a radio station. By the way, he knew what he was doing. He took the radio station away from me, but he brought another group in who started a radio station that did exactly what I was going to do. So I think he's very, very smart. So all of this, these filters, aren't those wonderful filters? God keeps some things out of our lives because they don't benefit us. And he puts and allows other things through the filters just because he loves us and he wants to bless us. And I think that's really profound. Now, the question is, what is the overriding purpose of what gets through that filter? When God lets something through the filter, why does he let it go through the filter? Well, here's the answer for that. What's the overriding purpose? Maybe I have to push the button again. There we go. It's Romans 8:29, that you and I would be made into the image of Christ. God's goal is to make us like Jesus. So everything he allows into our life is to make us like Jesus, so that we act like him, we respond like him, we think like him, we have a worldview like he does. And all of those things that come into my life are to help me be like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty profound. Romans 8:29 here says that we're predestined to be conformed to his image. God says, when you put your faith and trust in me, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the goal now is to take your life and make you look like Jesus. So we older folks have been saved a long time. We ought to look a lot like Jesus, don't you think? Galatians 4:19, Paul says, he was working hard, and he's talking to this group in Galatia. He says, until Christ is formed in you. So he's preaching, he's teaching, he's talking, he's praying with all the goal to turn people's hearts and lives to be like Jesus. And in Colossians 3:10, it says, we're the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Just profound stuff. He wants us to be in the image of Christ. And there's nothing that's going to happen to us that will not help us to become more like Jesus. That's the goal. So everything that comes in to my life is what I need to become like his son, the Lord Jesus. It's a training session for me. It's a learning session for me. I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm becoming. And that's what God is doing in my life, and that's why certain things come into my life. So why do we fight and struggle? Why do we get so depressed over, oh, God, you can't do this to me. I don't want this thing in my life. Not now. God, this is too painful. Well, his discipline, his allowing these things teach us about holiness. Holiness, being like him. Now, there are some things that get through the hedge. Boy, there's some doozies that get through his filter sometimes. Let me just show you what he allows through. What are things that get through God's sovereignty filter? Number one, some of the wages of sin. Sometimes he's going to say, no, I'm not going to allow that wage of sin through because it'll be too devastating. But there are some times he allows us to sin, and then that sin pays a wage, and he allows us to feel the pain of that wage. That happens. Certainly, we could look at the Bible and see David's example with Bathsheba and Uriah. Remember, he was immoral at one point in his life. He was on his roof. He looked down. He saw a woman bathing. He calls her back to his house. They're immoral together, and she gets pregnant, and then he figures out, I'm going to bring her husband back from the war because he was a soldier, but he couldn't get her husband to go down to the house and be with her. So he couldn't cover up what he had done. He couldn't cover up the pregnancy. And so he sends the husband back out and orders the commander to put him close to the wall where he's going to be killed. And a terrible sin. And you know what? God showed mercy to David, but he also let some of that wages of sin through into his life. In the area where he showed mercy, David deserved to die. He was a murderer. He had caused the death of another person willfully, intentionally. He deserved to die, and God said, I'm not going to take your life. I'm not going to kill you. But he also said the baby born to you as a result of that pregnancy is going to die. It would have been really hard in that culture for that baby to grow up as a result of what David had done. So very much an act of mercy, I think, to the baby. But the baby died. You know how destructive and hard that was for David? While the baby was sick, he laid on the floor praying and praying and praying and worked up and anxious and struggling with the fact the baby was sick and going to die if God didn't do something. And finally the baby died. And David got up, went back to his normal routine. He said, I can't bring the baby back to me, but I'm going to go to the baby one of these days. Both of them would be in the Lord's presence in heaven. And so David was broken by his sin and what he did. And you can see that in the pages of Scripture and in Psalm 51 and so on. I think of another illustration, some wages of sin. You know, Joseph's brothers, those rascals didn't like him. And so what'd they do? He came out to check up on them one time, and they didn't want to be checked up on. So they took him, they put him in a pit, and when some traders went by, they sold him as a slave to those traders. Those traders walked almost 1,000 miles into Egypt. And the Psalms tell us that Joseph was chained and had to walk. A terrible thing. Terrible sin by those brothers. And yet, in the mercy of God, he sent Joseph ahead so that Joseph could protect them from the famine that was coming. But yet he sent those dear old boys down to Egypt later when Joseph was second in command. And Joseph put some real pressure on their hearts to see if they were the same old evil people. And he realized they had grown a lot in the intervening years. So he had mercy on them too. But you can expect that when we sin, some of that's going to come back and bite us. Some of that wages of sin is death stuff's going to come back and bite us. And why does he do that? Why does he let that into our lives? He wants us to learn the wages of sin is death. Once you learn that lesson, you go, I don't think I want to commit that sin because I think that one could come back and have a real bite. I don't want to do that. We got to learn that sin hurts. By the way, parents, that's what our job is. We have to teach our kids that when you disobey, it hurts. And that's why we discipline, and that's why sometimes it's a spanking, and sometimes it's taking things away from the kids. But we're in the place of God teaching them that the wages of sin is death. There's another reason, though, why God allows things into our lives. He allows some results of foolish decisions. Some results. Not, you know, for example, I think of Esau. You know, what a dumb decision. I'll sell you my birthright and my blessing, my brother, for a pot of soup. I mean, decisions don't get any worse than that. I mean, that was an awful decision. And so what happened? He lost it. And God would not give it back to him, no matter what. And so Jacob becomes the line through which the Messiah would come, the Jewish line, the establishment of the Jewish nation, not Esau. But, you know, on the other hand, God was merciful to Esau because he blessed him a lot, too. And he became the father of nations, just as Jacob did. So some of the decisions we make come back to bite us. And it's a good thing because it teaches us what? To make good choices and good decisions. It spurs on, I got to get this right. Got to get this right. It's to teach us to make better decisions. And then here's another one. What gets through God's sovereignty filter? All the things that God could use to make us better, to make us great saints, discipline. Let me read Hebrews 12 here. Hebrews 12, 7. The author of Hebrews, that's the Holy Spirit, says to us, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? And if you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. No discipline may seem pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So God will let some things into our lives just to make us better saints. It's that molding process, that training process. And, you know, we see illustrations all over the Scripture of this happening. And I think of Peter there in Mark 4. You know, this is early in the ministry of the Lord, and they're out in a boat with Jesus and his disciples, and a big storm comes up. And Peter and the other disciples are running around going, Lord, if you don't do something, we're going to die. We're all going to drown. Woe is us. Remember, Jesus stood up and stopped the storm. And then they're going, who is this guy? And I told you before that I think Peter learned an awful lot from that. He said, when Jesus is around, he'll take care of me. I can trust him to do that. And you see that because you get over into Acts. Now, Jesus has died, gone back to heaven. The disciples have become apostles, and they're God's messengers. They're going out around the world to proclaim the gospel truth. And they're in Acts chapter 12 and verse 6. And in that chapter, we find out that Peter's going to die. Tomorrow, he's going to die. Well, Peter is going to die tomorrow. What is he doing tonight? And we look in on him, and he's sound asleep. You know, old Peter learned something. God sent them into that storm to understand that God will take care of them. And he learned that lesson so well that the day before he's going to be put to death, he wasn't, but the day that he thought he was going to die, he's just in there laying down snoring. That's amazing. But that's what God does. He trains us and makes us people who are really his followers and going the right way and becoming. Here's another one you may never have thought about, is some of those storms we go in and through are to honor you. Yeah, to honor you. To show what a saint you are or what's inside of your heart. And, you know, that's one of the great reasons that Job is in the Bible. Remember that Old Testament guy that God took away his kids? All of them died. Took away every possession he had. And then he had his friends come over and tell him what a bad person he was and that God was judging him. That wasn't true at all. And the whole thing about Job started off as a challenge. And God wanted to show Satan that Job loved him so much he would follow him even if he lost everything. Wow. And Job showed that's what was in his heart. He said, God gave me everything I had. God has taken away everything I had. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's pretty profound, don't you think? But we got to look right into Job's heart and realize, wow. And someday you're going to be walking the golden streets and you're going to meet Job. You're going to shake his hand and you're just going to go, wow, Job, what a story. What an amazing thing you did on earth. And it's all a badge of honor. Sometimes just as God lets us go through things that will end up honoring us. You know, I think maybe that's what was going on when David showed up at the Israelite camp when Goliath was taunting the Jews. And God wanted to show what was in this young man's heart. And so he set the circumstances up. And David comes into the camp and he hears Goliath taunting God and taunting Israel and putting down Israel's God. And he goes, nobody should be able to do that. I'm going to go down there and shut this guy up. And God will go with me. And so we look into David's heart. We see a young man that loved God, a young man that was courageous and brave, a young man that had practiced a lot with a slingshot. So it was all, it honored David. And he had such a reputation coming out of that, that they got him to be the leader of all of Israel. And then I think there's another thing that gets through God's filters and why does he allow things to happen. Sometimes it's just to honor God. Sometimes it's just to, you know, people step back and go, God, you are really something. And I base this on John chapter 9. Remember the man born blind? And so here's a guy who's been blind. He's well up into his adult years. And the Jews always said, if something's wrong, somebody sinned. So they're asking Jesus, okay, we got this blind man here. Tell us, Jesus, did his mom and dad sin, and that's why he was born blind? Or was he a little rascal before he was born? Did he sin, and that's why he was born blind? And Jesus goes, no, you guys got it all wrong. Well, that's a lemon paraphrase. But the bottom line was, Jesus said he was born blind so that the glory could go to God in this moment. And he said, you know, he healed the man right then, right there. And so God was glorified in that. And, you know, some of the things that come into your life, some of the issues, the problems, the challenges, it gives us a great opportunity to show how great God is, and to glorify him. So never discount that. I want you to know today that you can trust the good purposes of God toward you. Whatever he sends, it's not evil on his part. He doesn't hate you because you're going through a hard time. There's a good purpose for all of it. And we ought to thank him for that. I'm going to swipe an Old Testament verse, possibly take it out of context, some might say. But I think that if this is true for Israel in the Old Testament, it certainly is true for us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. You can trust God's good purposes toward you. Whatever you're in right now, you're going to pass through it. You're going to come out the other side. God's using it for something in your life. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. You may not call it good now, but someday, and I think a lot of this will go on in at the Bema seat of Jesus, the judgment seat. I think he's going to put his arm around us and say, hey, you remember when you were going through this yucky time? Yeah, I remember that. Well, let me show you what I was doing through that time. And then when he lays out, this is why I let you go through this, you're going to go, wow, Jesus, that was brilliant. You're going to appreciate the fact that he did it. So I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. That's God's intention for you. But there's some dark days. But ultimately, that's what will happen. Now, I think we have to learn something else here. Sometimes people go through some really hard times. And you know, when they're going through those hard times, sometimes we become like Job's friends. We stand back and go, oh man, they must have done something really wicked. Look at what God's doing to them. Just taking them apart piece by piece. Now, we're probably wrong in our judgment. Maybe we just ought to pray for them and not judge them. We can't always clearly see why trials come to somebody else. But we ought to get in there beside them and help them and bless them along the way. How much better had Job's friends come and just encouraged him? How much better if they had just come to Job and said, Job, God has a good plan for your life. Keep trusting him. Don't give up. Yeah, that's what Job's wife said to him. Just curse God and die. Just get mad at God, throw a hissy fit, and go off and die. You know, forget everything in the past. Job says, woman, shall we not? We took good from God. Shouldn't we take bad from God too? Oh, my. Well, I always need to hear that every now and then. I think sometimes we all do, right? Let's stand and pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for the comfort of the Scripture. Thank you for the rationale of what happens in our life and why. And we're grateful that you're so involved with our lives that you never make a mistake in what you allow and what you don't allow. So help us to just back up and trust you and say, God, whatever you want to do. And Father, bring out trust in our hearts and minds. So thank you. Thank you that you love us that much, that you would be that concerned about our lives and what's going on in our lives. So, Father, thank you. May your blessing be on your people in this holiday season. Amen.